Hey, what awesome worship, huh? Worship team's doing amazing. We're all worshipers, but the worship set on today was truly amazing. Amen? Hey, before we get started, just want to explain briefly what we're going to do. We're going into a series about the newborn king and the story of Jesus. So we're going to look at it from some different aspects, from the prophetic lenses, and then also in the New Testament relationship to just the birth of Christ. And I just want to tell you, when you begin to look in it, you dive into it yourself, and you begin to just sweep the scriptures going back and forth, you'll really begin to see some truly amazing stories. And I can tell you this for sure, you'll be able to relate to those stories yourselves in your personal lives, individually. You'll definitely be able to relate in those stories, I believe, for your family as well, too. So what I want to do before we get started is pray for us just before we get started in our service here, and just say, Lord, we just want to thank you this morning for your promises. That song this morning, Lord, for your promises. All your promises, Lord, are yes and amen. Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord, that we have a privilege, Lord, to be a part of a local church, Lord, a body, Lord. And Father, that we are able to grow in the knowledge of you, Lord, not for our own anything of our own strength or understanding, Lord, but, Lord, to the glory of you, that we may share your gospel message, Lord, with others. We share this gospel message, Lord, with others that we come encounter to, that we have encounters with, Lord, that we even do life with, Lord, in our sphere of influences, Lord, in our communities, Jesus, workplaces, Lord, all walks of life, those that we encounter, Lord, just along the way, Lord. Just come to understand that thing about who we actually may be entertaining, Lord, when we come in the company of men and women, Lord. We never know, Lord. It may be an angel, Lord, along the way, Lord. But we just thank you, Lord, that we have the opportunity to share this gospel message with others, Lord. And we just thank you, Father, in your mighty name, Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Just wanted to start off by just explain a little backdrop to what we're going to talk about today. Just thinking about the life of Jesus, his birth, how he entered into this world, but most of all, just his actual birth just right now. When you think about Jesus being born in a manger, born in, not in a mansion, not in this elaborate home, or an immaculate home, right? Not in a home where folks would see it and marvel at it and want to aspire to maybe live in that community. Nothing of that nature. But in the midst of the mud. You know what I mean by the mud? Just right in the thick of the heart of the mud. And I'm telling you, that is a story that we all can relate to, because literally Jesus was born in a very chaotic time. So many of you, us, if you've ever been one of those in your own lives personally where you ever say you've ever shared with someone, but you don't understand my situation, you don't understand what I'm going through, maybe I don't, and maybe someone next to you doesn't understand, but I can tell you who understands, and that's Jesus. Jesus understands, because Jesus, he understood it all, because he went through everything that you and I can possibly come to know or imagine. Jesus paid it all. So John 3:16, I just want to open up with that text. You don't have to turn there. I just want to open up with that text. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Literally, that just means he gave his one and only son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son to condemn the world. In other words, he didn't come to punish the world or punish anyone individually, but to save the world, to save mankind. That is the Christmas story, that Jesus came because of the love of God, the love of the Father that was sent here. What took place back in the garden when Adam and Eve, when the whole thing that transpired there, the eating of the fruit, the disobedience of mankind. And then at that moment, we see that Adam and Eve were forbidden to stay in the garden. Mankind was on a death sentence, a spiritual death sentence. And from that point, we hear the announcement of a Savior who's coming to rescue his people. During that time, God had a plan before the sin even occurred. That's a wonderful thing. So I want to open up with the Matthew text. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 is where we're going to go into. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. You know what? Actually, I'm going to pick up on verse 18. Sorry about that, church. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. Interesting, right? He had in mind to divorce Mary quietly. Hey, we're gonna open that up a little bit. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate, meaning that he did not have relationships with Mary. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and they gave him the name of Jesus. Wow, that's an amazing, amazing text there when you began to open that up and look at it. Because what we actually are talking about, and something that we really, hear a whole lot of teaching on, and this is not so much a teaching on Joseph, but we really don't talk about Joseph, the man, that much, And something interesting about Joseph we see in this story is that Joseph, you have to understand that he had an understanding of the scriptures. He had an understanding of the law, because during this time, the law and the prophets were held in high regards. And that means, like, when you're reading something about your life, your future, you refer back to the scriptures, right? So you would take it, says, well, what did the law and the prophets say? Well, what does the word say? And so you have to understand that he was a man that was in step. He was in tune with the Spirit of God, because the scripture is telling us that Mary was pregnant with the Holy Spirit, which you have to understand in this time, that was some pretty reckless, reckless times to have been pregnant. And the fact that it wasn't consummated by her husband or soon-to-be husband, Joseph, that this was done by the Holy Spirit. So just kind of think about it. There's going to be some folks who have revelation. There's going to be some folks who won't have revelation. Those that have revelation, praise God. Those that don't have revelation, praise God. Praise God for them, But those that don't have revelation can really begin to turn up the dial, in a sense, and begin to bring about some, put it this way, begin to throw some slurs out there that aren't quite friendly, right? And so the society that she lived in said that Joseph chose to divorce her quietly, meaning to not shame her publicly. But when the angel of the Lord spoke to him, that he began to recognize, and he says, wait a minute, I'm actually going to take Mary to be my wife. I'm going to take her on to be my wife. Because he began to understand, what I believe he began to understand, was that the scriptures began to minister to him, and the angel ministered to him, hey, wait a minute, this is This is what we've been talking about. Remember, go back into the text, read the text. You know, all those scripture doesn't tell us this, but you have to understand when the angel prompted his heart that he began to read this text and he had to go back and get a revelation of like, wait a minute, I'm going to take this on because Mary is pregnated with who has been announced for years and years and years to come. This is the Savior right here, no matter what it looked like. When Jesus was born, as I mentioned earlier, he was actually born wrapped in swaddling clothes and cloth. What does swaddling cloth look like? What does that represent? That just means that he was wrapped in death. That's what you wrap the dead in swaddling, in the cloth of those you're going to bury. That's a prophetic announcement right there of Jesus going to the cross, taking on all humanity's sin as a child, taking on all humanity's sin, going to the cross, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, even in his own childbirth. That's a prophetic announcement about who Christ was coming and who he's coming, what his mission on this earth was about. So the thing about his life is this, is that Joseph was a man who understood the sign. He understood the sign. Now, the scripture's telling us that Joseph was a man, and I want to add this in there, Joseph was a man that not only understood the sign, but Joseph was a man that had some very admirable qualities about himself. Admirable in the sense that he was a righteous man. He loved God. He was a man of sensitivity, discretion, very sensitive, responsiveness to the fact that he heard God, he heard the angel of the Lord, and he moved on it. And also a man of self-discipline. Self-discipline in the fact that he didn't have union with Mary. He didn't have relationship with her until the child was born. Then he had physical intimacy with her. That's powerful. That's powerful, church. That is powerful to think that he waited the whole time because he understood his role in the matter. Whew, touches me because what he understood was this, that he was not the biological father to Jesus, the Christ, you see. The reason why I mentioned that earlier about public disgrace, because that thing is something that we see a young lady in the community and have a child, and then the public or even family or friends can begin to ridicule and begin to mock. Does that make sense? Begin to mock and begin to taunt and even persecute to a large degree. Begin to racial slur or begin to throw other names out there. You can just think about it. Personally, I want to just share this with you. It's something I can relate with in my own family line, just having to do some family history and some of our family members having to come to a place where you get to a place of healing in your family and you're able to discuss and talk about things. And that's really what healing is about, really, just allowing the Spirit of God to come in you and just navigate what God is wanting to do in you and just heal you. I had a grandfather born in 1828 in this country. I share this with the men. Born in 1828 in this country, born a slave. Lived to see his freedom at the age of 37. Amazing, right? Lived to see his freedom at the age of 37. What's unique about the story is this, that his father, which would be fifth generation, right? Yeah. Was a slave master. Okay. Means he owned slaves. What's unique about it is this, is that even in a community of that nature then, that's something that could have been, you know, very frowned upon with those who are even in the institution of slavery. And the reason why is because you're of that seed out of that house, right? So it's also what you got to understand is this, the relationships between women during those times, slave masters, weren't necessarily consensual. Okay, so you understand what I'm talking about? They weren't consensual relationships. So there's a form of oppression that takes place in there. And with that oppressive spirit, there often comes generations and generations of just stuff. The one unique thing about the story is this, is that after slavery, he left and went to the state of Texas with this man, which was common. That was common for folks to do that during that time, to leave and go with their slave masters out of loyalty, employment, and just safety, protection, let me tell you. So as he left, he left and went moving to this region. As he moved into this region, he started a ministry. One of the things about the ministry is this, is that the two families really began to form a real relationship to the point where the families were often in each other's homes. And I honestly believe when the Spirit of God comes upon you and heals you and heals the brokenhearted, heals you in whatever area of your life. But in this particular area where there was huge divides and acceptance, and when the Spirit of God came in, that they were not only found in each other's company, but their families remained friends for several generations. He later on built the church with some of the members there during that time. Inheritance, right? Because the church is still there today. Inheritance. 1870. Healing. It's not necessarily packaged. It's not necessarily wrapped in the big, beautiful box with the big bow and the beautiful ribbons. It's often wrapped in something very similar to what Jesus came into the world in. I think somewhere along the way, we can all relate to chaos. Somewhere along the way. And let me tell you, I know these are very sensitive. This is very sensitive stuff because I understand, because I have family members. This is extremely sensitive stuff, even after years and years and years, you know, 150, 153 years later. This is very sensitive stuff to talk about. But when you are healed and when you allow healing to come in, that healing will not only heal you, but it will heal the past, the present, and the future, church. So we see this story. I want to go back in here. The story about Joseph. When you take a woman who has been impregnated by the Holy Spirit, by the seed of God, not the seed of man, but the egg of a woman, and that this consummation of self-discipline, understanding the scriptures, and having a heart for what the Word of God has to say versus his own motives or his own drive to be with this woman. Amen? All right. So what I want to do, I want us to understand the sign. Understand the sign and understand the times in which this took place as well, too. Understanding the times is really important, because not only is he taking on this young lady for to avoid public disgrace and marry her, but also the time in which Jesus was born, that the world was in a bit of a chaos back then. Just like, it's not too different from what we see today when we talk about chaos. And so to the point where the king during that time was Herod, and he was ruthless by no means. So not only are you addressing a society, a community thing, far as taking on the role, his role as the not the father of Jesus, but the husband of Mary, but he's taking on his role in nurturing, raising Jesus as part of what the angel of the Lord has spoken to him. But you're also taking on this thing of just political arenas as well, too. Because you see where Herod wanted to do, he wanted to destroy the lives of young boys between the ages of 2 years old and younger. And so it's been recorded that he's killed as many as 33 young boys killed in order to attempt to kill Jesus. 33 young boys. And the scriptures, when you go into it, it prophesies the weeping of Rachel, which it was a text in Jeremiah about Rachel mourning for those who have been slain in these murders. And Herod was not only ruthless to the point where he killed the boys, but he also killed his own wives as well, too. So that tells you something about him as well, too, as well as his sons. The thing about that, what's intriguing is this. As a man, you have an opportunity to walk away. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have an opportunity to really push that needle about public disgrace and not really wanting to, you know, although he knew who she was and he knew who he was in terms of he understood his identity and was ready to embrace what took place, he could have easily been one of those that just stepped in the back and just allowed that thing to just transpire anyway, right? And I think sometimes, and this is not a knock on us men, but, you know, as men, we can easily kind of sidestep certain situations and avoid leadership responsibilities and duties in our home because we're willing to allow those duties to fall on the shoulder of someone else who, you know, our wives or whatever, you know, your situation may be, but especially on our wives or on wives to avoid responsibility. Responsibility is huge in marriage, especially for the life of the believer and for life of those who aren't believers. Responsibility, self-discipline, and allowing yourself to be rooted and worded in the Word of God in order to raise and lead your family is really a hallmark about you embracing God's Word to the point to allow it to just set the course of where you are and to the generations going in the future where you are in your marriage. Hope that makes sense. Now, we're going to turn to the passage over in Isaiah 7. Because I really want us to understand the sign. What is this sign that I'm talking about? Isaiah 7, the sign. Understanding the sign. And give us a backdrop about the sign. Because Joseph received a revelation about the sign. He received a huge revelation about the sign. And I'm going to pick up in verse 1 of chapter 7. When Ahaz, son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, that was king of Judah, King Rezin and Aram and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, marched up to fight against Jerusalem, but they could not overpower it. Now the house of David was told, Aram has allied itself with Ephraim. So the hearts of Ahaz, his people, were shaken, so as the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, go out, you and your son, Shear Jeshub up. Is that pretty close? To meet Ahaz at the end of the aqueduct of the upper pool on the road to the Landerer's field. Say to him, be careful, be calm, and don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood because of the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram and the son of Remaliah. Aram, Ephraim, Remaliah's son, have plotted your ruin, saying, let us invade Judah. Let us tear it apart and divide it among ourselves and make the son of Tebow king over it. I'm going to skip down a little bit. Then he says in verse 10, again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, ask the Lord your God for a sign. He said, ask him for a sign, right? What is the sign we're talking about? The sign we're talking about. The sign that Joseph picked up on, the sign. What is the sign? How many of you ever been in a situation where you said, Lord, I need a sign? Huh? Have you ever been there before? I remember early on in my walk, just barely having the winds of life just tossed at me and not knowing what to do, you know, not really knowing how to be disciple and not being disciple at the same time. But a huge part to that, not knowing how to be disciple. And so just the winds of life, you just ask God because you're desperate. Lord, show me a sign. I need a sign. I need something. Just show me something that I can just hang my hat on. I need something that I can just continue to walk forth in, right? So he says to him, he says, again, the Lord spoke to Haaz, ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest height. He says, but Haaz said, I will not ask, I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. That's the sign. That's the sign. That is the sign that Joseph recognized. The sign that what took place in Mary's body was the Holy Spirit, the seed of the Holy Spirit, God himself impregnating Mary through the Holy Spirit and the self-discipline of not consummating that thing. You see, the sign also, what's interesting about the sign is this, that for Ahaz, I'm just going to give you a little backdrop. Ahaz was a ruthless king. He was ruthless by no means. His heart was corrupt, not able to receive or willing to receive a prophetic word in the darkest hour of his own life. To the point where Ahaz had done a deal with Syria, not Assyria, but Syria. He did a deal with Syria where he basically had sold his people out and sold them into slavery. It's like a little behind the door deal he had done. He sold his people into slavery so he himself can make a way out and possibly gain his own freedom. Now, Isaiah prophesied something to him that was coming up against this particular attack. And if we go back up into a verse, it says this right here in verse 7, he says, this is what Isaiah says to Ahaz, because he's being besieged by Syria at this time. They have mounted an attack upon him where they're about to not only annihilate him, but annihilate them as a people as well, too. And so what he says to him, it will not take place. Can you imagine that? That your darkest hour, you're being confronted by something that you think is going to overtake you. You receive a prophetic word of the Lord, and the Lord himself tells you, it will not come to pass. It will not take place. What are you going to do? Are you going to receive that word? Are you going to literally back away from that word and deny it? I tell you what, I'm running with that word, and I'm running. I'm taking it to the bank. I'm cashing it in. I'm turning it in, and I'm running home with that one. Amen? Who's not running home with that word? Right? And so then when Ahaz says, he says this to him. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, I will not put the Lord to the test. And the reason why he didn't put the Lord to the test is because he had done that backdoor deal. He refused to trust God and rather to trust his own fleshly nature about running and escaping and thinking that he had a way out to sell his own people out. Man, that's when you, regardless of where you are, you turn to the Lord, right? But in this case, Ahaz chose something else. And the reason why this story is powerful is because this is where we get the text from over in Matthew about the virgin shall bear a son. And you'll be conceived, the virgin shall bear a son. And it comes out of this text right here, out of Isaiah 7. that the virgin shall bear a son. Now, some tend to think, theologians think that, well, this had to do with immediate prophecy right then and there, which I believe it did as well, too. But this also had to do with something that was going to take place 740 years later. Can you imagine someone prophesying something to you that doesn't come to fruition, the fruit of it, 740 years later? But the reason why he wasn't going to be destroyed is because Ahaz was of the house, he was of the tribe of Judah, of the house of David. And that's the same house, man, that Jesus came from right there. And because of the prophetic word that went forward, that Joseph recognized that to the point where he picked up on it and he knew his role and his responsibility, his duty as a man, amen, his duty as a man to take on this young boy, Jesus, in his infancy. How many of you know that Jesus want to kill, I mean, not Jesus, but the enemy want to kill and destroy something right in his infancy, right at his birth? It's right here documented that Herod killed young boys in an attempt to kill Jesus. But a prophetic word spoken 740 years ago came to pass right here in the text, that this man then could have benefited from that word. Who is he? Who is our king? Who is Jesus? Who is the King of Glory? Who is he? Isaiah 9 describes this, says this about him. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will rest upon his shoulder. The presence of God stepped down from heaven into a world as a child in a human body. In a human body to take on humanity for you and I. Amen. In a human body speaks of his humanity as a child, speaks of his deity being fully God. Wasn't just a child, he was fully God. Just fully God, fully man. The government resting upon his shoulders. The government of God resting upon Jesus' shoulders. All of heaven, man, all of heaven, every arena, every sphere of influence, everything, power, authority, resting on the shoulder of Jesus. Everything, from the demonic realm to the financial markets, everything was under his feet as a footstool. Get this, and guess who it's been given to? To you and I. It's been released to you and I. It's been given to you and I. That's the power, all authority been given to you and I. Oppression is a real thing. I just want to say it is really, oppression is something that, man, it can make you speak something totally different out of your mouth and really begin to believe it. Oppression. You have to know that oppression was felt even by some of Jesus' disciples. Later on in Jesus' ministry, if you remember in Acts chapter 1, right before Jesus' ascension, one of the questions, now you're talking about this is on down the road in his ministry from the time we're talking about, some 30 plus years later. And the question is asked to Jesus, when will the kingdom of Israel be restored? Because why? That Roman rule oppression was a real thing. It was a very intense oppression. Very intense. When will the kingdom of Israel be restored? And Jesus said this. I don't have the answer to that. He's basically, is what he's saying. He says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Jesus didn't come to overthrow the government. He came to give his people power. That makes sense? Gave his people power to be witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the outermost part. And that name, Emmanuel. What does that mean? God with us, right? And what did Jesus say in closing in that chapter in Acts? He's gonna be with his people. He's going to be with us always. And I will be with you always. Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. I want to close it now. I want to close in this area. And I want to pray for folks. I don't want to go any further. I just want to pray right now. And I just want to ask, do you understand the Christmas story? That Christmas literally exists because sin exists. But the Christmas story is this: when sin entered the world, a Savior was announced. Amen. How many of you are in here right now? And I'm going to ask, if this is you, if you are in a place where you need to accept the Lord Christ, Lord Jesus Christ in your life, I want to ask if you can stand. I want to have folks to pray for you. If that's you today, can we have some music, folks? I want to ask if that's you. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Thanks a lot. Just want to ask, if that is you today, this isn't to embarrass you or anything, but this is really to come alongside you. Second request is this. If you feel like you've been under attack, you've been lied about, you hear the voices or the whispers. I don't even want to give the enemy credit, but if you feel like you hear voices that are saying that you're not worthy, you don't belong, you don't have a place, you're not good enough, if that's you, you want to be prayed for an area of healing, I want to ask you, please stand. If you just simply want prayer, amen. If you simply just want prayer, whatever situation it is, amen. You just want to be prayed over. You just want to be lavished in the love of the Father. Because as we said earlier, the scripture says that God so loved the world that he gave. And in that love, he wants to lavish you and show his affections to you. If you desire the affections of the Father today, I'm going to ask that you please stand. Amen. Amen. I'm going to put something else out there. If you feel like that there's some things that are hanging over you as far as generationally that haven't been dealt with, whatever that may be, generational, I don't even want to say curses, just something generational that you desire to be released from, I want to ask that you stand also, because God is wanting to set you on course and have you walk more in who he has called you to be in your future. Praise God. My brother, I want to ask folks who are sitting, and you see, I'm going to ask this. That folks who are sitting, and you see folks around you standing, can we just begin to go to them and minister to them and just pray for them?
Just as Ken was talking, I was blown away by the scripture about just the obedience level of both Mary and Joseph. I think sometimes when we desire to see the more of the Lord, or we desire to step in faith, and to conquer things that, you know, we feel we can't conquer. It takes a level of obedience and actually a level of surrendering. We don't often get visited by angels. Some of us do. But there was an obedience level that took place when they heard the words of the Lord. And I just want to encourage the body right now and just say, when you hear God's word, do whatever it takes to obey him. Obedience doesn't come easy. It comes with sacrifice. And sometimes when you keep Jesus at the forefront, if you keep Jesus and his desires for you there, I'm telling you, the sacrifice gets a little bit easier because you see what's at the end of your obedience. I don't know about you, but I want to have a heart like that. I want to be obedient like Joseph and Mary. I want to hear the words of the Lord and believe him and obey him. So I just pray that over you right now. I just pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, just stir that in us. Stir the ability and the courage to obey you, even in the times of struggle. Father, help us to keep you in the forefront. Jesus, we want you at the end of the road. We want to see you not only walking with us, but we want to see the end result. And we don't always know what that is, but we know that you're there. So, Father, I pray for a deeper level of understanding, a deeper level of feeling and sensing you, a deeper level of commitment and authority and obedience. Father, whatever it takes, if people hate us like they hated Mary, or they talk smack about Mary, they talk smack about us. Father, Joseph, who's taking on a responsibility that wasn't his, but laid down his own preferences, his own will to obey you. Father, help us to be men and women like that. Help us to be men and women who keep you in the center of our lives, no matter what it takes. We want to be obedient to you. Father, that's how we show you our love for you, is by our obedience. Lord, I don't know, you've shown us love by laying down your life, by coming as a baby, as a humble little baby wrapped in swaddling cloths. You humbled yourselves for us. Father, I pray that we would humble ourselves and give you back who we are in everything so that we would obey you and see your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just a reminder of the scripture, just saying prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective. Powerful and effective. I just see a picture of someone just falling on their knees. It's like you're in a bedroom. I see a picture of someone just falling on their knees. You're just in an act of surrender. You don't have to respond to that, but just falling on your knees in an act of surrender. I surrender. That's you. Just if you're willing to receive this. I surrender, Lord. I surrender all. All to thee, Lord. My blessed Savior. I surrender all. I surrender, Lord. Act of surrender. Through obedience. I surrender, Lord. I surrender. Surrender my feelings, my emotions. Lord, I surrender. Just want to pray that over our young people. I surrender. I surrender, Lord. Pray that over our young people. And your pursuit of goals and dreams. It's amazing. It's a wonderful thing. But I surrender, Lord, my dreams. I surrender my goals. I surrender all, Lord. Just pray that prayer when you have an opportunity. You've done it in your own strength. But it's exhausting. It's exhausting. I know it is. Like your mind is at its wit's end. It doesn't have another solution or another thread to run on. But I surrender. I surrender. Surrender all. Thank you, Lord, that the Spirit of the living God will have his way in me. In Jesus' name. Just want to thank you, church, for this morning. If any of you want to stay behind, you feel like you want to be ministered to privately or more upfront, then I want to just ask if some leaders can stay behind and be willing to just pray over folks as well, too. But I want to thank you for this morning. What an awesome service. You've been great. Just want everyone to be blessed. Be blessed. Be free. Be set free. Thank you, Lord, for each and everyone in here, in the children's room, upstairs. Thank you, Lord, as we walk out the doors, that we walk in the strength of you, Jesus, not being blown or tossed by the winds of life, but, Lord, to walk in that place of being more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Thank you and enjoy your Sunday. Have a good rest of the day. God bless you.